All right, so let's keep moving. We'll change up. We go to hour number two. Welcome to the program. I also understand that not all of you listen to the entire program, so I do have to reset things. What's cracking? What's up? Good morning. Good afternoon. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, that's Chalk. That's the other side of the glass. That's the XR4TI. There's Rit gesturing like a fool when he's not on camera. Usual stuff. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So hour number one was essentially a one-topic hour. We talked about the Bills and the Pats. I got a report from a fan and somebody who said that he'd worked part-time for the Bills for about a decade now. He called from Orchard Park. He said exactly what's going on. It's cold. People have been showing up since Wednesday. More people came on Thursday. By tonight, it will be on. It's going to be a long night, right? But then again, I've never done anything like that before. I've been to tailgates in the cold, but I haven't started tailgating in the cold three nights out. But that's how much it means to the Bills fans. This is as big of a home game as they have had in years. This is as cold of a home game as they have ever had. Reportedly the second coldest home game ever. So Bills Mafia, if you want in, go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. If it's a good call, I'll cut you right to the front of the line because I've got two interviews in a row coming up starting next segment. A.J. Green, Cardinals wide receiver, joins us. A.J. Dillon, purely a coincidence. That was not a plan. A.J. Green, then A.J. Dillon. Back to back to wrap up this hour. So you have your telephone number. I want to get to a new topic really quickly. Carson Wentz. He's taken a lot of heat since the Colts choked right out of the playoffs. Wait, did I say they choked right out of the playoffs? My bad. That's not what I meant to say. I meant to say they bleeped the bed. Actually, not my words, but none other than the classy DeForest Buckner. He said so, and he's right. He said it on Hard Knocks after the Colts season ended. He said, quote, "We had the team to do it, but the last 2 weeks, we just bleeped the bed." End of quote. Man, that's the truth, isn't it? That's a fact. They did have the team to do it. And by do it, I mean not just get to the postseason, but I mean wreck shop in the postseason. And then they lost to the Jags, one of the most unforgivable, embarrassing losses in NFL history. It was not that long ago that folks were talking about the Colts as a legit Super Bowl threat. They had a scary running game. They had a defense with studs at all three levels. In other words, they had the kind of game and the kind of style that travels in the playoffs and causes problems when it arrives. But they also had Carson Wentz as their quarterback. And ever since he imploded on Sunday, he has been taking plenty. First, there was his own head coach, Frank Reich, saying this.
Yeah, I think Carson did a lot. I mean, I think we're a team. I think he's our quarterback. And, you know, I think we're all going to learn and grow from this year. I think there were a lot of bright moments for Carson. So, again, I'm not going to go deep into individual assessment.
Uh-oh! That's no ringing endorsement. In fact, that's got to hurt. As I said earlier in the week, never good when your head coach, one of the guys responsible for bringing you in, can only say, quote, "I think Carson did a lot, and I think we're a team, and I think he's our quarterback, and I think we're all going to learn and grow from this year." That may sound like praise, but that's not praise. That's not a head coach guaranteeing that his quarterback is going to come back and declaring that that's our guy. That's the guy we're building around. I mean, he's saying quite the opposite by saying nothing at all, but he's not saying that. And he's not wrong. Man, Reich should not be staking his career and his time in Indy on Carson Wentz. Would you? And if you're Carson Wentz, you had to be hoping after hearing that from the head coach that you might hear something more encouraging and something stronger or something better or something that reflects better upon you from the GM Chris Ballard when he met with the media. Unfortunately for Wentz, Ballard was much tougher than even Reich was on him. When asked if he wants Wentz to be the quarterback next season, Bauer dropped this bomb.
When we made the decision, after Philip retired, and we made the decision to make a move on Carson, at the time of the decision, we felt good about it. And I still don't regret the decision at the time.
Notice what he said there. We felt good about the decision at the time of the decision. So it's pretty clear that he does not feel good about it right now. He probably feels like crap about it right now. He's not even trying to hide how he feels about it right now because he had even more.
I won't make a comment on who's going to be here next year and who's not going to be here next year. That's not fair. That's not fair to any player. I thought Carson did some good things, and there's a lot of things that he needs to do better. You know, our passing game has to be better.
Some good things, but a lot of things that he needs to do better. I don't know. Some versus a lot, to me, is not a great ratio. Not to mention, he started it by saying, I'm not going to comment on who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. I.e., how can I comment on a dude who might not even be here? So that's even less of an endorsement than from the coach. Much less. But much like the coach, I get it. They shouldn't guarantee anything right now. And while that move did seem solid enough at the time, it looks pretty horrible right now. They were betting on the fact that Carson Wentz could pull out of a tailspin, the tailspin that his career has become. So they rolled the dice and they've crapped out. They thought that getting Wentz back with Reich, who coached him in Philly, would help Wentz get right. But they were wrong. Because whatever happened to Wentz sure looks like it's permanent. His struggles are not the outlier. They're now the norm. The new norm. The actual norm. All that great stuff that he did years ago, ancient history. And now the Colts are giving a first... This is the incredible part, right? They're now giving a first-round pick to Philadelphia, who is going to the playoffs. While they sit at home... Thanks in large part to Carson Wentz. And yet Ballard, despite saying what he already said, had even more to say.
I'd like to quit band-aiding it. I'd like for, you know, Carson to be the long-term answer or find somebody who's going to be here for the next 10 to 12 years. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, man. I mean, I can dream about it and wish about it and do everything I can to figure out the solution, but you do the best of what you can do at the time that you have to make a decision.
Real talk. I respect it. Real talk. How often do you hear a GM come out and say something like that? And not to point the finger to cover his own ass, but that's just real talk. And he's right. And they were spoiled. I mean, they got used to it, right? They had Pinky around forever. They had Andrew Luck to chase Pinky. Of course they felt pretty good about having a guy around for 10 or 12 years. Of course they want that again. And I guess they thought they had that again. They thought, like, hey, we got the guy. We have the guy to get it done. We have the right coach with the right guy. But he let us down. And now I have serious questions about him going forward. I'm speaking for the GM now. Actually, I agree. So I'm speaking for both of us. And if you think, that, again, that that's just a GM blowing smoke and trying to cover his own ass, that's not my read on that. That's not a guy who's just a little disappointed that things didn't work out. Chris Ballard sounds pissed. I mean, really, really pissed.
Sometimes you get your beat, man. We got our beat. I wish I had for the fans and for everybody to say, hey, you know, can you pinpoint what I don't have that. I wish I could. I don't. I'm being honest. I don't have it. We got our beat.
Man, I respect that so much. He just said three times, right? Three or four times. We got our ass beat. I wish I could pinpoint it, but I can't. Yes, you can. You just did. Well, I can tell you what happened. I can pinpoint exactly what happened. We got our ass beat.
We got beat.
Of course, it's not enough just to say that, right? The fans want to know, how are you going to make sure that doesn't happen again? But I respect that he's saying it. When was the last time you heard a GM in any sport saying something like that after missing the postseason? Like, there is no positive spin here at all. Again, personally, I would say, what the hell else can he say? They lost to Jacksonville. Win and you're in against one of the worst teams ever. And not only did they not win, they got, quote, their ass beat. So what do you expect a guy to say? That? But guys don't. They never do. But he did. Nothing like what he didn't say, what I would expect almost anybody else to say, would be something like, you know, it's disappointing, but it's our first year with Carson. We all learned. We'll be better for it. We'll be back next year. You know, nothing about how the team got off to a tough start, dealt with injuries, still managed to win 9 games. We did that. We're proud of that. We didn't quit. None of that. Pure and simple. This was our time. We had the right team, and we got our ass beat.
Man, we got our ass beat.
Something tells me Chris Ballard is now looking to beat some ass of his own. And he's going to do anything and everything he can to make sure that this does not happen again and that he doesn't feel this way again. You can tell he doesn't feel good at all. He was aggressive. He took a big swing. He took a chance on Wentz. And it came back to bite him in the ass when they got their ass beat. I understand football is a team game. I understand that you can't put it all on one guy. But if you read between the lines, it sure sounds like they're trying to put it on one guy. I mean, Ballard even went as far as to say this.
Look, we embarrassed ourselves. Embarrassed our owner, embarrassed our city.
I mean, this dude could not be more real than he is. We embarrassed ourselves. We embarrassed our owner. We embarrassed our city. He all but said, Carson Wentz embarrassed himself. Carson Wentz embarrassed Jim Irsay. Carson Wentz embarrassed our city.
Man, we got our beat.
Because we got our ass beat.
Man, we got our
beat. And they did. And they did. And they shouldn't be allowed to skate. And that does not get them off the hook. But I respect that he came out and he said that. And that he owned that publicly. Because they did. Terrible look. Terrible loss. One of the worst losses ever in league history. I cannot stress it enough. It's a good team. That's a good team. Built to win right now. Win and you're in. It could not have been set up any better. Beat a terrible team and a terrible organization. And you're in. And then once you're in with that running game and a defense that's good on all three levels, who knows how far you can go? You can do some real damage. And they didn't even get in. Nope, they got their ass beat.
We got beat.
So I like that reaction. Question is, what do you do now? Where do you go from here? He gets it. Ballard gets it. I'll tell you another guy, a guy who gets it. Joe Burrow gets it. I love Joe Burrow. I love everything this guy says. I love the way this guy carries himself. And Joe Burrow, to me, and I want to get into this, he's that perfect mix of like swagger, justified arrogance, but humility. You know, but like one of the fellas, but a dude who knows who and what he is and what's in front of him. I love this guy. I'm not guaranteeing a win over the Raiders, although I do love them, and I love the way things look for them. But most of all, I just love Burrow. And let's not forget, all these things, these amazing things he's doing after coming back from a significant injury. This dude is tough as hell. Great player. Great mindset. When we come back, we begin the AJ portion of the show. AJ Green, right into AJ Dillon. Cardinals talk, Packers talk. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're not on hold, why aren't you on hold? Phone lines are open. So whether it's after a hard day of work or you're relaxing on the weekend, we all love to kick back and watch live sports. It doesn't matter what sport you're watching. It's always fun to have a little bit of action. This is why I recommend you download the WynnBET app. Whether you're a recreational player or a serious handicapper, WynnBET is your ticket to every exciting wager. From straight bets to parlays, teasers, any exotic prop wager you can come up with. Right now, I've got my eye on this super wild card weekend. I've been talking about it all week long. WynnBET is where you want to be for all your NFL playoff action. The app is easy to use, and everybody knows the Wynn name and the Wynn brand. It is one of the biggest and best brands in the gaming industry. So get off the sidelines, join in on the action, download the WynnBET app right now on Google Play or in the Apple Store. Get yourself in the game. win with WinBet. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Such a good day. It's about to get better because the AJ portion of the show is about to commence. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. What I mean by that is this. Coming up next segment in about 20 minutes, a running back for the Green Bay Packers, AJ Dillon. Coming up right this second, a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, who's having another big year. He is a two-time All-Pro. A seven-time Pro Bowler, 54 receptions, 848 yards, three touchdowns on the season, more than 700 career receptions, more than 10,000 career receiving yards. He was a two-time All-American at Georgia. He was the fourth pick overall back in 2011. Arizona at LA Monday night. Great matchup. Wide receiver AJ Green is my guest. AJ, it's been a minute or two since you and I last spoke. How are you doing, and what is the vibe like around the team as you get ready for Monday night?
I'm good. The vibe's great, man. It's not a lot of team in our position, so we're just living in the moment, staying on top of the details, and then getting ready for Monday.
That sounds about right. AJ Green joining us. So you're having a strong season, and you're putting up the second highest number of yards per reception for your entire career. I'm curious, what has the transition to Arizona been like for you, and how have you gone about learning and fitting into that system so quickly?
It's been a learning process each and every other week, man. But I just come every week and work and try to get better each week. But it's been a fun process, man. Being in Cincinnati for 10 years, had a great career there. Love Cincinnati. But things change, but they're having a great season. But, you know, being here in Arizona, it's been fun. It's been definitely fun.
H.A. Green joining us. Things do change, right? And it is a business. Back in camp, GM Steve Kimes said this of you, quote, "The guy's phenomenal. I talked to Marvin Lewis about what a great man he is. Such a quality human being. It's been great for our locker room. He is the perfect personality to be opposite a Hop. They are awesome together." I'm kind of curious, like, when you hear that, what's it mean to hear that? And then what's it been like to come into that particular locker room and that receiver room?
It's been great. I had no idea coming out here what it's going to be like or anything like that. But just playing along with the guys, Hop, C. Kurt, Rondell, we have a great receiver room, man. It's real. It's no egos in that room, man. You know, Hop is it's a great teammate. It sucks that we lost him, but he's been a great dude, man. He's out here rehabbing hard and trying to get back. But my job is coming here just to work every day, show the young guys how to work, and go from there.
AJ Green joining us. I understand also that Larry Fitzgerald is a guy that you learn from. Like, you're helping the young guys right now, but when you came up, he was one of the guys you learned from even before you arrived in Arizona. As one great receiver looking at another, what did you like about Fitz's game and the way he approached his career and his work?
I think just his head down and his work every day. He didn't care about the media. He didn't care about all that other stuff. He just wanted to play football, and I think that's who I am. You know, I don't care about all the other social media and, you know, what people think of or whatever, and posting and all that stuff. I just go out there and just work every day and let the cards fall where they may. And I think that's what I learned from Larry, you know, growing up.
You know, AJ, I mean this respectfully, but you're kind of like an old head in that regard. And if you're an old head, I'm like the oldest head ever. But, you know, the kids, it's different, right? It's different right now. So when the young guys are coming up, I'm not saying that if you're on social media, it doesn't mean that you're not about your craft. But what do you advise the young guys when it comes to things like that, when they're like, "Hey, man, but this is what we do now"?
I think a couple of weeks ago, Devontae Adams had a great answer to a question where he was saying, you know, younger guys ask him, like, how do you perfect your craft, and how do you, you know, run the routes through it? He said, "Because I run routes. I don't do all those crazy drills that you see on Instagram. The only way you can get better is running routes." And that's me. I'm very old school. I think the only way you can get better is running the routes that you run in a game, not all that other stuff. So that's my advice. Just go ahead and get your playbook. The routes that you run those routes and get good at those routes.
And get your head in that playbook. I saw Devontae say that. I think there's a reason. There's a lot of reasons why Devontae's Devontae, but that's a big reason right there. Mindset. AJ Green is joining us. You know, something else you said when you got there, you don't have to be the guy. And it's not that you're demanding to be the guy, but you've always been the guy. When you look at an offense like that that's got so many weapons where any number of guys could dominate a game, how do you go about sharing the ball and making sure everybody's included and everybody understands and embraces that role?
I think it comes in again with the ego, man. I think we all, you know, Hop been the guy for a long time. I've been the guy for a long time. So we're not focused on stats. We focus on winning. And the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, coming here, that's what's the goal. You know, we don't really care about the stats. We've been the guy. We've been to Pro Bowls. We just want to get that goal. That's the biggest goal is to win a Super Bowl. And I think if you look at it like that, you don't care who's getting the ball. You just matter about who are we getting these W's and what can I do when how can I capitalize when my opportunities arrive. So that's the biggest thing for me, just making a play whenever my opportunity comes around.
AJ Green is joining us. Somebody else, AJ, who's used to being the guy, who's always been the guy, of course, Kyler Murray. From the outside, this is just me talking from the outside. I just think he's one of the most electric athletes I've ever seen. Certainly one of the most electric quarterbacks in the NFL. What's it been like playing with him?
It's been fun, man. It's a play when even you don't think it's a play. So that's why I have to learn to where the scramble drills and the little things like that, I got to get back open. I wasn't really used to all that, you know, quarterback running around. So for me, it's just getting my head around, make sure I see him, you know, shadowing him, just work out scramble drills. So that's probably been the biggest adjustment for me.
That's interesting, right? Like, no play is dead. As long as that guy's still running around and he's standing up, the play is still alive. So, I mean, you made this pretty clear. This is about a postseason run. This is about getting to the ultimate game. I'm curious, the team did not end the regular season the way you would have necessarily liked. So how do you go about resetting quickly before the playoffs start?
The good thing is, you know, once the playoffs start, it's a new season. No matter what you did in the regular season, you're there. This is about the team that gets hot. It's not but the most talented team. It's about the team that does the things right on that given day. And that's for us. We just got to stay down, stay into it, stay on our details, and play a solid game and a clean game. I think we'll be fine.
And it's interesting what you just said. I had this conversation with somebody else on a podcast yesterday that it's not always, quote, the best team, but the hottest team. When you talk about the details and cleaning things up, have you seen enough to know that you feel like things have been cleaned up?
Yeah, I think, you know, this week we've been – you know, a lot of guys we've been doubting. You know, no joking around on the sideline, none of that. Because you know, loser goes home. So we're gonna correct this the next day and move on to the next week. So I think, you know, our locker room, we have some great leaders. We have JJ coming back. We got Buddha. We got a lot of guys. K1 got me. So we understand that this moment doesn't come around very often for a lot of teams. So we just gotta be able to put our best foot forward on Monday and try to get this win.
AJ Green joining me for another few moments or so. I could ask you about any one of the guys you mentioned, but you mentioned Buddha. AJ, is it me or is this dude playing the game at a different speed altogether?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been in the league for a long time. I've never seen a defensive player play how he plays. And the crazy thing, he practices the same way. He's the same guy every single day. It's like, it amazes me every time I see him. I'm like, this guy is unbelievable. Energy, leadership, his passion for the game. I just never seen anything like that before.
AJ, help me with this. Like, you practice as you play. I get that. But if you got a defensive guy and he's running around and he's flying around and he's being physical, as an offensive player, like, you know he's trying to get ready for Sunday, but at the same time, and he's not looking to hurt anybody, is there a line that a defensive player has to draw about how hard to go in practice?
Yeah, he definitely understands how hard to go, but we understand it's Buddha, and that's all he knows. But he's very smart. He's a smart football player, so he'll never put his teammates in harm's way. He's always, like, tagging off, but you see him flying to the ball, and he eases up once he gets close enough. But that guy, man, he's an unbelievable safety, the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, wow, that's really high praise coming from you. Really quickly, I'm curious, the offense, you had so many weapons like we talked about, and then the team adds Zach Ertz. I know that's somebody you've watched from afar from a long time. What's it been like to play with him, and then what does he bring to the team?
It's been fun, man. I've been a fan of Zach since, you know, Pro Bowl days when he was in Philly, man. I'm just a big fan of his work, and I feel like he's probably one of the most underrated tight ends through these last couple years. Just his detail, his route running, his hands, and people would understand he's a great blocker as well. So,
AJ, one last thought. You're locked in. I understand that Monday's the thing. Like, it's the thing. But if you go back to that game against the Rams, you went over the 10,000 career yard mark. It's a huge number. It puts you in really elite company. I know you would say to me, yeah, but I got a lot of football ahead of me, and I believe that. But for right now, what does 10,000 career yards mean to you?
That's always been the goal, just to, you know, reach that 10,000 mark, man. And, you know, I had a couple injuries that set me back, but to reach that milestone, it's been a blessing, man. I definitely didn't take that one for granted, because I know how blessed I am, because you got to play a lot of football and to get to that number. So for me, it's, you know, enjoying the moment, but understanding that, you know, I still can play a little bit longer and add on to that 10,000. So
there it is. Two-time All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-American at Georgia, Arizona at L.A. That is a huge game on Monday. AJ, really good to reconnect with you. I appreciate you very much, and I appreciate you coming on the show. That was great. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you. AJ Green, that's a nice interview. Really happy with that. Arizona continues to be an amazing jungle team. They just are. And I have to acknowledge that, because business is business. Access is access. You know, I had this conversation. I mentioned that I did a podcast yesterday.
Business is business.
With Kim Pegula, who is the co-owner of the Buffalo Bills. And we talked about the fact that it's different now. She said to me, what's different now about when you got in? How is the business different? And I said, well, obviously, one of the biggest differences with the business, when I first got in, there were very few people doing what I do. So athletes didn't have to, but generally it was accepted that if they wanted to communicate with the fans, they had to do so through the media, and that's how there was access. Right now, the fact of the matter is, I hate to remind them of this fact because I still really like having prominent athletes on the show, but they don't need me. And I know this. I understand this. I feel like I still provide them an incredible opportunity because it's a gigantic platform that we still have. It's an enormous audience that we still have. And frankly, I still feel like I do a better interview than most because I'm better prepared. However, they don't need us. They have their own platform. Lots of platforms. So I want to acknowledge those teams that are really good for us to deal with that do make their athletes available. Arizona is an amazing team to deal with. The Buffalo Bills are an amazing team to deal with. The Rams are great. The Chargers are great. And I just want to acknowledge that from a business standpoint. Business is business. And for a guy like AJ Green did not need to do that interview before a game like that. So I appreciate him, and I appreciate the Cards. My thanks go out to them. When the Packers are another one. Case in point, they're off this week, and AJ Dillon is going to join me next segment. So, we'll take a short time out. Golden State Warriors, of course. The King, Ray Ritter, of course. Yeah, in fact, I'll tell you something else. Ritt told me he had an interaction with Golden State owner Peter Guber. Peter Guber is one of the most brilliant people I've ever spoken to. And we're trying to get him set up for the side hustle to the side hustle. And indications are that might happen in the next coming weeks. Another amazing team to deal with, Golden State. AJ Dillon, when we come back, we're halfway through it. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. The AJ portion of the show continues from AJ Green to our next guest, a running back with the Green Bay Packers. He had 67 yards from scrimmage Sunday against Detroit, more than 1,100 yards from scrimmage, 7 touchdowns this season, a punishing runner, averaging 5 yards per touch this year, 3-time first-team all-conference player at Boston College, 62nd pick overall back in 2020. Green Bay, of course, is the top seed in the NFC. Running back A.J. Dillon is my guest. A.J., good to have you back. How are you?
How you doing?
Good, dude. How are you?
Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you back. Appreciate you. So it's a huge weekend for the NFL, but you've got yourself a bye. What's it feel like to have some time to kind of rest, recover, while everybody else is out there punching each other in the face in the cold?
It's definitely great. You know, it's definitely great to go into the playoffs with that number one seed. Like you said, get that extra time, but you know, that doesn't, you know, the work's not done. You know, we are all very aware that there's still so much more for us out there and more that we want to accomplish. But like you said, it's nice to allow the body to get a couple of days to refresh and, you know, still go out there and practice and, you know, be very detailed, even though we don't know who our opponent's going to be.
I like that. A.J. Dillon joining us. One more thought about that. So I know you're putting in the time, you're putting in the work, you want to be detail-oriented. This weekend, for instance, would you completely unplug and maybe get away for a moment, maybe head up to Door County, get some garlic parm wings? Is that in the plan?
It's definitely in the plan. Actually looking forward to this weekend. For me personally, I don't know what everybody's going to do. Can't speak for everybody, but for me, you know, we had a good week, you know, practice prep and things like that, and was all locked in on that. These next couple of days, while these games are going on, I'm probably going to take a second to just kind of, you know, unplug, get away from the football piece, and then, you know, when it's time to lock back in, see who we're playing, all that stuff, just dive in for this last this last month of just this run we're going to be on.
A.J. Dillon joining us. You know, it seems to me your usage has been really interesting. Like, you're getting more and more opportunities to catch the football. Last season, you had two receptions. Like, you've always had this ability as a receiver. You just didn't get the opportunities. And then this season, you've had 34 receptions, and you're averaging better than 9 yards per reception. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett has talked about what your receiving means to the offense. I'm curious, what do those opportunities mean to you? And then how proud are you about that change and that growth in your game?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely anytime I can get the ball in my hand, whether it's, you know, sometimes on special teams or it's obviously running the ball or catching the ball, it really is a big confidence booster and also echoes all the trust that, you know, my coaches have and my teammates have putting me in positions like that. So it's always, I always wear that very humbly, just even getting the opportunity to get targets and things like that. That doesn't come without trust, but I'm definitely proud of the growth I've had in that realm. Receiving the ball definitely was something I worked on this off season, and worked on and asked Aaron Jones a lot. Obviously, he's been, you know, kind of an all-purpose back. Obviously, one of the best in the league at running back for a while now, and just asking him like, "Hey, how did you, you know, get better in these situations?" Things like that. Also, you know, working with Jordan and having Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in football, sling you that thing every day in practice, definitely gets you better. So it's been it's definitely progression by committee. It wasn't just me out there. Everybody's helped me grow, and you know, it's really nice to kind of look back every now and again and be like, hey, you've actually come a long way.
Good stuff. A.J. Dillon joining us. You mentioned the word trust. I mean, that's a pretty serious word. It's a heady word, especially as it relates to the guy that you play with, the quarterback that you have. Aaron said this about you, quote, as the leader and somebody who likes to use my brain to win games, when somebody can match that preparedness like he has, he's talking about you, it gives me a lot of confidence. I mean, dude, that's serious praise that Aaron Rodgers is saying that you've got a young guy who matches my preparedness. That's high, high praise. How do the two of you connect mentally on the field and let each other know what your responsibilities are and what you'll be doing? Like, what is that connection like?
I believe it just, you know, obviously, like you said, just being prepared and, you know, that's definitely, you know, high praise coming from him for sure. And, you know, I definitely am very appreciative of that. He's been a great leader and big role model for me. Somebody I can always, you know, learn from. For myself, anyway, I'm always trying to just stay on top of like what my responsibility is and then how it can change. Because obviously, like you alluded to, obviously Aaron Rodgers, number 12, he's been around the league. He's done it at a high level for so long and he's seen it all. So with him, with all that knowledge he has the ability to, you know, change the protection or change the route or change the concept just off of seeing one guy move somewhere because he knows exactly what's about to happen next. So I guess for me, the cool thing with just having him out there and learning from him every day in practice is I'm constantly trying to anticipate what the next possibility could be, what the next play could be, or what audible and why he would go to this is. So I think just obviously working out with him all the time and kind of seeing how his brain moves and starting to just get to scratch the surface of the stuff that he sees out there has allowed us to have that communication.
A.J. Dillon is joining us during the bye week. So really quickly about Aaron, he was the MVP last year. Is there any doubt in your mind that he should be the MVP again this year?
No doubt. No doubt. It's like asking me if the sky is blue. That's the MVP right there.
I got you. All right. So like when I'm watching you play, A.J., you bring a certain physicality to it, a certain mindset. Like what is your mindset when you're looking at the guy in front of you? And then do you feel like the other guys on your team actually can feed off of that? And is that contagious?
I think so. I think the unique thing about a running back and playing the running back position is you really have the opportunity to ignite the team. With how often a running back gets the ball and, you know, you're starting back there and the offensive line, you got to go through your own offensive line and then obviously the ensuing rows of the defense, the offensive line, linebacker, or the defensive line, linebacker, secondary. And I think, like, when you break off a run, you're going through all these people and they're looking at you going through that. Like, it fires people up and you'll see runs and you'll see guys on the sideline jumping up, jumping off the bench, even in cold games. Throwing off their jackets or, you know, sometimes speaking of 12, like 12 will go and look at me and give me like a thumbs up or something like that. And that just kind of gives everybody, you kind of bring that juice. For me, I just, you know, I kind of that angry running mentality. I just kind of worked in this way. I don't like people to be around me or touch me when I'm out there running the ball. So if somebody's going to be on my back, we're going to go for a ride and try to fall forward. That's one thing that I'm always trying to do is always fall forward, and that's something Coach Sermons, our running back coach, Ben Sermons, is always talking about, just finishing forward. Those little yards, you know, it doesn't look like much on the TV copy or even on the film right away, but when you average that little extra reach and you got 1.5 yards here, you got 2 yards here, 1 yard here, shoot, you just got an extra 10 yards. So it all adds up.
It all adds up. A.J. Green or A.J. Dillon. I said A.J. Green because we just had him on A.J. It's A.J. Hour. Really quickly, like there's a mindset and a physicality, and then there's also like a look and a style and a certain thing. It's kind of an old school thing, right? Look good, feel good, play good, mm-hmm. get paid good. Dude, you broke out one of the all-time looks. You went with the overalls against the Vikings. You wore them to the game. You wore them after the game. Shirtless overalls is an incredible look. Yeah. How did it feel?
It felt great. It felt great. Anytime, you know, you're playing one of those NFC North opponents, you know it's going to be a gritty game, no matter where it is in the season, what the weather is, what the standings are. Those are going to be good, tough games, and you know we wouldn't want it any other way. So, you know, where I was wearing the overalls, kind of like trying to be a nod to the lunch pail. You know, going to work with the lunch pail, kind of just blue collar, going to work, getting the job done. And that was supposed to, you know, kind of emphasize that mindset I was going into the game with. And then post game, they're like, "Hey, you're gonna go outside." Post game interviews back on the field. I was like, "You can't stop halfway. You know, if we're gonna start this way, we're gonna finish this way. So put back on the overalls, hopped out there." And it was great. We had some Green Bay fans still in the stands, and they were starting to yell, "Show the quad." So I had to rip those out for them.
The best. Dude, this is why they love you, that mindset, that grit, that blue-collar mentality, and because you give back. You played fantasy football this year for the first time, and you were so good, you were able to donate $35,000 to a pair of local nonprofits. What was the fantasy football experience like, and then how pleased were you with that results and the ability to give back?
Yeah, all in all, it was a fantastic experience, you know, from start to finish. I teamed up with, you know, Sleeper HQ and their fantasy platform. It's a fantastic platform, really functional, but they have a bunch of experts, you know, fantasy experts and things like that. And, you know, they challenged me in the offseason. They're like, "There's no way they don't even do this." And so, you know, we went out there, we won. My team battled through some adversity. But like you said, I had never played before. So it was a fun experience, and I made a lot of friends with the Sleeper team. And the prize money, you know, we're not allowed to gamble or anything or play bet money on fantasy football, but the end of the money was all going to charity. So it was great to be able to use that fun experience and use my platform also to, you know, help out Green Bay local charities. And so we donated the Bell and Health and Cancer Research, $25,000, and then $10,000 to Willow Tree Foundation, which is in Green Bay. And they help kids who have been sexually or emotionally or, you know, maltreated in any way locally. And, you know, it's fantastic to give back to two causes I believe in.
Good for you. Hey, really quickly, you're such a young guy and you've got your whole life and career ahead of you. I'm curious, though, is that a place where you could see yourself living after your career is over?
Absolutely. I've begun the process of, you know, putting my roots down here. I met my fiance here. We're getting married this off season.
Congrats.
And we just thank you. I appreciate that. Just got our first house, and you know, this is kind of home base from here on out, regardless of where football takes me. I was telling my mom, she's obviously in Connecticut, back where I'm from, and whether I'm with Green Bay forever or not, hopefully I am. I think this is where we're going to be living. She's like, oh, the only thing I don't like about that is how far we are, but you know, we'll make it so they can come visit. We got a guest room with her name on it.
That is the absolute best. Green Bay is the number one seed in the NFC, and running back A.J. Dillon having a huge year. He was a three-time first-team all-conference player at Boston College. My man, not only do I appreciate the conversation, I really appreciate it during a bye week. You did not have to do that, so thank you very much. It was a killer conversation. Great to have you back, A.J. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, anytime, especially for AJ Hour. That's awesome. I like that segment. That fired me up right there.
Dude,
but
you are
once
the
again,
best.
Had a great time. Anytime, I love talking to you. So,
my
thank
man,
you so
you
much.
Are the best. I love talking to you too. I mean, for reasons like that too. That is incredible. AJ Dillon, such a class act, such a good dude, such a great player, and he was fired up by AJ Hour. Even when I called him A.J. Green, he forgave me and understood it because it was A.J. Hour. Hey, and Packer fan, he just said, I want to live here. I want to play my whole career here. But even if I don't, I still want to live here. That is such a good dude. Such a good dude. Hour number three coming up next. Stay tuned. That was A.J. Hour.